Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes, if you will. We're in a series that we've entitled Survivor. Survivor. In Psalm 37, verse 16, the writer there tells us, it's better to be godly and have a little than evil and possess much. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they'll receive a reward that lasts forever. They will survive through hard times, even in famine. They'll have more than enough. You and I are called to survive. God's promised us that we will. Now, we've looked at surviving failure. We've looked at surviving frustration. Today, we're going to look at surviving fatigue. Now, fatigue is not just, I need sleep. Fatigue comes in all sorts of forms. Maybe it's today that you've been dealing with the financial situation and the problems that our economy has presented us, and you're just tired of it. And it's getting the best of you, and you're just kind of losing energy. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a marriage. Can't tell you how many times I've heard someone say to me, you know what, I've just had enough. I can't take anymore. I'm done. Maybe it's the kids. Exhausting, huh? Maybe it's the job. Wears me out. They ask too much. We get fatigued emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. Well, how do we deal with that? And how do we survive that? And how do we overcome that? Well, as we look at this morning, let's look at why do we get fatigued? Why do we get in this circumstance and situation? Why does it happen to us? First of all, we live in human bodies. Now, that's just a reminder to some of you, because some of you think you live in supernatural, Superman-type bodies, and, you know, we all know better than that. You live in a human body. We all live in a human body, and we all share that same element of it. And the writer in Corinthians, Paul, writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, when we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Now notice verse 2. We grow weary in our present bodies. Do you understand that weariness, fatigue, just comes simply because you're human? We grow weary in these present bodies. And if you say, well, I'm never tired, I'm never like that, then you're either not in touch with yourself or you got some bigger issues that we don't have time to deal with today. We grow weary in these present bodies. We long for a day and we'll be putting our heavenly bodies like new clothing. We'll not be spirits without bodies. We'll put on new heavenly bodies. Our dying bodies make us groan and sigh. Well, has your body ever... My body seems to be doing that more and more often. But it's not that we want to die and have no bodies at all. We want to slip into our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by everlasting life. God himself has prepared us for this. Notice, God built this into us, didn't he? As a guarantee, he's given us his Holy Spirit. So I have to understand that fatigue comes because I'm human and I am not exempt from getting tired, getting weary. Because I live in this physical body, I experience fatigue. Second reason we get fatigued. We live in hard times. We live in some really difficult times. Our economy, our society, our culture is just really brutal to us. Things are hard today. Notice what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 69:1. See if you relate to this at all. Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire. I can't find a foothold to stand on. I'm in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched and dry. My eyes are swollen with weeping. waiting for my God to help me. We live in times where things are difficult, don't we? Things are not easy. I think all of us keep hoping for a little heaven on earth. Instead, it seems like it's going the other direction sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes in the midst of all the things you have to deal with in life of just being human, not only does your body grow weary, but because you live in difficult times, having to deal with problems, circumstances, situations that you have to face on a day-to-day basis. How am I going to do this? What am I going to decide here? How am I going to handle this? We, like the psalmist, say, Lord, I'm in deep water. You know, I just don't know what more I'm going to do. I don't know how much longer I can tread water. God, it just seems like things get more and more tough. And we hear it often, and it said something like this, you know, I think today these times are a little harder than any times before. Just so much. We live in hard times. Third reason we get fatigued. We live in a horribly sinful world. A horribly sinful world. We live in a world that just wears on you. Notice what Peter writes in 2 Peter 2:7. The same time God rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a good man. Now notice what it says about him. Who was sick of all the immorality and wickedness around him. Yes, he was a righteous man who was distressed by the wickedness he saw and heard day after day. You ever feel like that? How much worse can it get? How much more immoral can our culture become? How much farther can it go? And it just wears on you. Man, I live in some difficult times. And it doesn't seem like they're getting better. It just seems like things go from worse to worse to worse. Where are we headed? What's going on? That wears you out. There's a fourth reason we get fatigued. And that's because, as a Christian, we run in a holy race. We run in a holy race. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially sin, so easily hinders our progress. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he knew would be his afterwards. Now he's seated in the place of highest honor beside God's throne in heaven. Now notice what it says, verse 3. Think about all he endured when sinful people did such terrible things to him so that you don't become weary and give up. Pastor, I'm trying to live a godly life, and sometimes I feel like, what's the use? What's the use? Things just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Why bother? I keep trying to do what's right, and it just seems like I can't make it. I can't do it. I can't get there. I just might as well give up. And the writer in Hebrews says, look, you need to think about things because when you're running this race, you're going to get weary. Don't give up. So we have these four elements that create fatigue in our life. And everyone in this room is susceptible to them, aren't we? We all have to deal with them in one form or another. And let me just tell you something else, and this isn't great news, but at least it's honest news. It's not going to change. We're going to have to continually deal with these things, aren't we? I mean, you're going to be in this human body for a while. You might as well learn to deal with it. We keep looking for a magic pill or a magic exercise or a magic thing we can do where I won't have to deal with that anymore. Good luck on that one. We keep trying to think, well, you know what? Maybe if I could just eliminate this and get out of this, you know, the hard times are difficult. Maybe someday it'll turn around. And, you know, and maybe things in the world will just get better. And why am I trying to do what's right and it just seems like it's harder and harder? So how do we overcome this? Now, please understand something. The world has a way for you to handle your fatigue. It will tell you things like, tell you what you need to do. You just need to get more sleep. Now, sleep is important, but sleep isn't your cure-all. Well, maybe what you need to do is your schedule's so hectic, you just need to start dropping things. May I tell you a secret? Your schedule is not the problem with your tiredness. You can handle that later. Well, maybe if I just quit this and quit this and quit this and I get out of this. Or here's the good one. I just need some me time. And maybe if I could just have some me time, a little bit more of it, and I would feel much, much better. Or the world says, look, you're in a tough relationship and it's hard and it's not. Just get out of it. Just leave. You know, all of those things sound good, but here's the problem. None of them work. All they do is create more frustration, more fear, more failure, more fatigue. But the Bible always tells us a way to handle life, doesn't it? It always gives us good advice. It always says, look, I've got a solution for your fatigue. Now, you can take the world's solution. You can do the things that it says to do, and you can try it, but they will not help you. You might get momentary relief, but it's not going to be something that's going to last. And so God always tells us, look, here's how you handle life. Here's what you do in this to do it lastingly. It's not going to be like what the world says. God's ways are not like ours. It's going to be entirely different, isn't it? So if you listen to this this morning and say, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, then don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. And I think God should know because he did make us. So I want to talk to you and just give you a few little things this morning that you can put and apply to your life to help you not grow weary, to not be tired, to not get fatigued, to handle life, to handle the struggles, to handle things. How do we overcome it? First of all, we must know the holiness of God. I have to know that God is my solution. If I think, well, I'll tell you what, I'll try God a little bit, and if he doesn't work, then I'll try some sleep. And if he doesn't work, then I'll try some pills. And if that doesn't work, then I'll get out of things. And if that doesn't work, I'll do this. No, no, no. I have to come to that place where I know that I serve a holy God, and God is my life, and he is the one that I can turn to help me in the midst of my life situations. And I've got to be convinced that he's the God who is able to do this, and I got to know him well enough and be convicted enough to know God will help me. Isaiah 40:28, it's the premier verse of the Bible when we talk about this subject. But notice how it begins. Have you never heard or understood? Now, whether we like to admit it or not, the answer to that many times is, no, I haven't. I don't understand a lot of things, do I? You know, don't you know that the Lord is the everlasting God? In other words, God doesn't wear out. He lasts forever. The Energizer Bunny's got nothing on him. He is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Do you know that holy God? Do you know how great he is? Do you know, have you heard, do you understand how great he is? Verse 29, he gives power to those who are tired and worn out. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths. Wow, that's good to know, isn't it? Even the kids get tired, become exhausted. Young men at times just give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They will fly high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. How does that come? When I know God. When I wait on him. When I come to that place when I'm aware of how great he is and I look to him. God, I'm fatigued, I'm worn out, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. God, I've had enough. So I am going to look to you because you are the one who can give me the strength that I need. Now, folks, that's not a trial. That's not something, God, I'll give you this time and you got 2 days to renew my strength. It's not that way. It's, I know the holiness of God. And he says there, once you know that, you wait on him. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Let me give you 3 things about waiting on God that become critical in your ability to have him renew your strength. The first one is you need to cultivate a day of rest. You need to cultivate a day of rest. Well, Pastor, I'd really like to take a day, but you don't understand my schedule. Yeah, I do. If you don't have time for a day of rest, you're wrong. Now, whether we like to admit it or not, this is probably one of the most broken of the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days a week are set apart for your daily duties and regular work. But the seventh day is a day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. Now notice, day of rest dedicated to God. God's a part of that, isn't he? On that day, no one in your household may do any kind of work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. Now notice, he rested on the seventh day. Now hold, stop a minute. Does God get tired? No. Does God get weary? After 6 days, did God say, boy, I'm just exhausted. I need to take a day off. No. That's why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, a lot of people here will get hung up on the day. Well, Sabbath's got to be Saturday. Oh, yeah, that's it. If you don't keep that day, that's not what it's saying. Jesus dealt with that often in the New Testament. He said the Sabbath wasn't to be a day that was binding to you where it was legalistic. You go into the New Testament church after Jesus Christ left, they begin to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Why? Because that's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so they celebrated his resurrection on Sunday. The important thing is a day of rest. Well, I work some Sundays. Do you have a day in your week that you refrain from doing what you normally do? In other words, what's he saying here? Sometime in your week, and more than just a few minutes, and more than just an hour or two, you need a day where it's not like any of the others. You're not made to go 24/7, 7 days a week. You can't do it. Well, Pastor, I don't know how I'd have enough time. Well, that same argument's the one he says by the people that say they can't tithe because they don't know how they'd have enough money. But here's what I know. God's able to take less and make it more when we give it to him. Well, you know what? The same thing is true with your time, isn't it? So do you have built into your week a day when you don't do what you normally do? Where you become more aware of God and his presence. You've begun today that way. You've set aside a time where you're not doing what you normally do, are you? I don't think you normally come to church every day of the week. If you do, I'm missing you here, so I don't know. So I need to know that I need a day that is different from all the others. But you see, some of you would feel guilty if you took a day off. You're one of these people who feel like the only value to your life is if you're doing something. Stop it. Well, I just can't do all this. I you know, my schedule's such. Change it. Fix it. You need a day of rest. Now, folks, that's not me. That's what the Bible teaches us, isn't it? That wasn't real convincing right there. See, some people, well, I'll give you a few hours, but then I got to go do what I've normally done. You're going to get exhausted, guaranteed it. God has a solution for you. You can choose to follow it or not, But if you choose not to, you understand there's consequences. Secondly, when it talks about understanding the holiness of God and waiting on God, it means that I have to continually stay close to God. In other words, this waiting, God, I'm with you. God, I'm aware of your presence close to me. In the Amplified Version, verse 31 of Isaiah 40 that we read just a moment ago reads like this. But those who wait for the Lord, now notice, now it's going to define wait, who expect, who look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God, as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. In other words, when I expect God to take care of me, when I look for God in the midst of my life, and when my hope is in him, that's staying close to him. So God, here I am. I'm taking time off to relate to you. And Lord, I'm going to stay close to you through all of this because here's the deal. God, you are my strength. God, I don't have the strength to deal with this life on a day-to-day basis. I don't have what it takes to keep going all the time and face the issues I've got to face. My body wears out. The problems are all around. And God, the world that I live in is so immoral and so wrong. And God, you know what? I've been running this race for years and I'm getting tired. When's it? God, help me. And it's then I have to realize it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by his presence and strength in my life. And so I stay close to God because God is my strength. God is the one who renews me. If I'm going to get renewed, it's not going to come from a long vacation. It's not going to come from all my problems being gone and me not have to deal with that person who exhausts me. Although we've all tried that, haven't we? It's a problem when you're the one exhausting everybody else, but again, that's another issue. That I have to realize, what am I doing when I'm fatigued? When I'm fatigued, I need to get close to God. I need to remind myself, I'm trusting him. I need to once again put into place and I'm expecting him to take care of me, to help me. I'm looking for him. I'm hoping for him. God, you're my strength. God, you're my source. God, you're the one who's going to help me in the midst of all of this. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you'll live in safety in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord. He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. You see, there needs to be a passion for God in this, doesn't there? God, what I need most is you. God, I'm tired and weary of all the stuff going on around me, and just because I'm human, God, I still have a passion for you. You don't withdraw. You stay connected. You don't. I just need to get away from everything. I just need to get away from all my problems. I just need to get away from people for a while. No, you don't. You just need to get close to God. Boy, wasn't a lot of amens or anything there, was there? You see, the world says, this is how you fix things. Unfortunately, we bought into it. We believe it. How many times have you tried to handle your problems in a worldly manner? And has it given you more energy? Never will. You might get a quick burst, like taking a Red Bull and give you a couple hours and that'll be it. It's not going to last. You stay close to God. You have a passion for God. You're recognizing there. Sometimes our tiredness comes, we've lost our passion. God, I'm trusting you. God, I'm hoping in you. God, I'm taking the time that you've set aside to allow me to put into my life a day that is going to help me be renewed. And God, as I'm doing that, I am looking to you because you're my hope. You're my strength. You're my joy. And then thirdly, we wait on the Lord when it says, you cast your cares on God. God, here's what the burdens I'm carrying. Here's the issues I'm dealing with. God, I don't need to carry them around, because if I carry that load around with me all the time, I will be exhausted all the time. And God, I have to take moments in my life to give this to you. Now, Pastor, what do you mean? How do you do this? It's very simple. When I begin to get it into my mind and my mind starts thinking on things that I cannot fix and that I have no control over, I need to stop myself right where I am and stop my mind at that moment and say, hold it. I can't do this. God, I'm going to give this to you. You'll take care of this. I'm going to trust you in this. God, I'm going to allow you to have this. God, I'm not going to keep that in me because I can't fix it. I'm not going to worry about it. That will not solve anything. All worry will do is make me exhausted. And some of you are tired today because you're just worrying too much. And you need to take all of that stuff and say, God, I'm going to trust you with it. God, I'm going to let you have it. God, you carry this. I can't. And Lord, I want you to have it. Psalm 55:22. Give your burdens to the Lord. He will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. 1 Peter 5:7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Oh, but if I give it to God, what if it doesn't work out like I want it to? It probably won't. And it probably shouldn't. You're trusting God in this, aren't you? Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary, tired, fatigued, and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. There it is. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. Now notice something here. He does give you a burden. It's light. Notice something else here. Take the yoke. In other words, don't check out. Keep serving and keep working. Keep doing what God wants you to do. You know, it's always the great time of the year again because we're all getting ready for Scrooge, and this is a great opportunity for us to touch our community and reach people. And every time people, oh no, how am I going to do this? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. Well, the schedule's just so much. Well, I'm just so exhausted. Well, quit trying to do it all on your own. God will use you. You keep serving. See, the answer, I find it all the time. People say, well, you know what? I'm really tired. I'm really exhausted. What I need to do is quit some things at church. Get a life. It's not going to help you. You're still going to add something else to your schedule with that. Well, I need a vacation. So you take a vacation and wear yourself out and come home and wish you had another one. That's what we do, isn't it? Well, that wears me out. No, it's not that. You see, you and I take our cares. We give them to God. We fit in the yoke with him as we continue to minister with him. He gives us a light burden, and he cares about what's going on, and he will teach us how to find rest in the midst of our labor. You see, we look for a way out. God looks for a way through. I just want it over with. You might regret that. Well, I just want relief. Give me a prescription. Let me just take a couple pills and be over with in the morning. No, you wait upon God. You follow his schedule. You stay close to him. You work with him. You cast everything on him. You trust him. Do you understand the holiness of God? Do you understand how great he is and how much he wants to care for you? And then he says, look, in this world, there are many things that work against you to wear you out. But you can be of good cheer because I have overcome the world, he says. And he will help renew your strength if you will wait on him and know who he is. One more thing. We have to be confident of a harvest. Confident of a harvest. In other words, I have to believe that God, if I will do this, there will be a reward for me. There will be a harvest for me. There will be a benefit for me down the road. That God, as I trust in you and keep serving you and allow you to renew me, God, as I keep holding on to you and looking to you, God, I know that it will be worthwhile. I'm not wasting my time and my energy. God, I'm not just holding on to something blank and nothing will happen. God, I know that as I do this, that God, you will be faithful and there will be a harvest, there will be a reward in the days ahead. I have to be convinced of that. In other words, I have to be convinced that God's prescription will work. Galatians 6, 7. Don't be misled. Remember, you can't ignore God and get away with it. You'll always reap what you sow. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires will harvest the consequences of decay and death. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Now notice what he says. So don't get tired of doing what is good. Don't get discouraged and give up. For we will reap a harvest of blessing at the appropriate time. Don't get tired. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. There's a harvest in front of you. There's a blessing down the road for you. Don't give up on it. Be confident. God, I'm going to do this. Here's how we'll put it. God, I'm going to do this, and here's what I know. I know it will work. Do you know that today? You better. Because if you don't know that, you're going to try something else. And you're going to be disappointed. Hebrews 12, 11. No discipline's enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So take a new grip with your tired hands and stand firm on your shaky legs. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Then those who follow you, though they are weak and lame, will not stumble and fall, but will become strong. Do you understand that your example will help others be energized? Do you understand that your way of living as your faithfulness to God will help others renew their strength? Do you understand that as you're confident that God will help you and God will take care of you and God will provide for you what you have need of, that God will be faithful and he will use you and that there will be a blessing down the road for you? The end of Paul's journey. He's writing to the church at Corinth. And he lets them understand about the difficulties of living this walk. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, notice what he says. We live in such a way that no one will be hindered from finding the Lord by the way we act. And so no one can find fault with our ministry. You have a ministry, by the way, don't you? In everything we do, we try to show that we're true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardship and calamities of every kind. We've been beaten, put in jail, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, gone without food. We proved ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, our sincere love, and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have faithfully preached the truth. God's power has been working in us. We've righteousness as our weapon, both to attack and defend ourselves. We serve God, whether people honor us or despise us, whether they slander us or praise us. We're honest, but they call us imposters. We're well known, but we're treated as unknown. We live close to death, but here we are, still alive. We've been beaten within an inch of our lives. Our hearts ache, but we always have joy. We're poor, but we give spiritual riches to others. We owe nothing, and yet we have everything. There's a man who understood what it was to be fatigued, you think? And he saw that in the midst of it all, that as long as he would be faithful to a holy God who had called him, and as long as he would continue to honor him and to live to him and trust him and allow that God to renew his strength, he knew there would be a harvest in the days ahead. It's kind of humorous. Sometimes somebody will, on their way out, say, well, you know, I'm glad that I was here today, but so-and-so over here, they slept through the whole thing. And I usually respond with, well, maybe they needed sleep more than they needed the message. Probably isn't true, but maybe. But see, we drag our weary bodies all around with us, don't we? We think, I didn't get enough sleep last night. We think, well, you know what, it's just the pressure I'm in. It's just going wearing on me. It's just hard on me. Well, it's just what I'm going through at the job. Things are really hard right now. Or the family, we're just really tough, and it's just wearing me out. It's none of those things. You need to be closer to God. You need to trust in Him. You need to put yourself in a place where you're following His ways. And you need to put your hope and wait on Him, knowing that God will be faithful. Oh, but Pastor, I got to have relief right now. No, you don't. You need God right now. If you draw to Him, He'll draw close to you. And when you wait on the Lord, He renews your strength and rewards those who wait for Him. God doesn't want you to live a life of fatigue. He wants to give you the energy that you need to live a life for Him and honor Him in it all.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.